Frank Robinson, you know, first black manager, the only guy to be MVP in both leagues, you know, Curt Flood, Veda Pinson. I mean, these are groundbreaking black baseball players, and they grew up and played here in West Oakland. And you know, yeah. Joe Morgan and Ricky, just all these dudes. Mm-hmm. Stu, we have such a proud and deep legacy and history of black baseball in Oakland. And this is an important legacy that I have in my life as somebody who's rooted in this community and is trying to preserve the stories, I think is important and is an important connection.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Straight A's. Today I'm joined by David Peters, otherwise known as Bleacher Dave. We discuss the A's stadium saga and what he wants to see with the project, both as an Oakland resident heavily involved with the community and a lifelong A's fan. With that, here's Dave. Hello everyone, welcome to Straight A's. I am joined by David Peters, who some may know as Bleacher Dave on Twitter. Thank you for joining me, David.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here, Sam.
So we were just talking a little bit about, before we recorded, just about your lifetime of A's fandom. Why don't you tell me a little bit about what it's like to be an A's fan, especially in this climate, and how long your A's fandom spans back?
Oh my gosh. So I'll start with how long. 1970, mm-hmm. The A's had had a kid from Louisiana, the last name of Blue. Mm. And my grandmother was from Louisiana. She knew not about baseball, but she knew Vida Blue was from Louisiana. And catching the bus and going to games a lot, along with my grandfather. So family tradition being an A's fan.
And did you go to a lot of A's games just as a kid, or do you still go to A's games?
Oh my gosh. Went to lots of A's games as a kid through the 70s. When I was, you know, small, when your parents and grandparents, when I became 13, I was old enough to catch the bus. Spent a lot of time catching a bus out there with friends and sometimes by myself, sitting out in the stands. You know, my desire when I was 12 was to be like those old dudes at midweek day game, sitting down there behind the dugout as a retiree. So I still fantasize about that.
Is Vida Blue your favorite player, or did you develop some of your own favorites?
Well, during that era, Campy was my favorite. Beep Beep, the Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. I think, though, Ricky Henderson being from the town is another huge dude in my heart. But if I had to pick one guy, it would be Dave Stewart. He's from Oakland. You know, he went through some hard times, you know, down in L.A. and around the rest of the league, and he came back to Oakland and became the Smoke, that famous stare.
Yeah, he from what I understand, he learned the stare in L.A., but he made it cool here.
Yeah, very town. You know, it's very a very town look.
Yeah, exactly. I'm wearing a sweater right now that has it somewhere. Ooh. There it is.
I see it. Yep.
So I think that a lot of people, a lot of A's fans or just general people that are online all the time like me, are familiar with you as an A's fan and also as someone that you say is not an expert, is very familiar with the workings of how the A's are trying to build a new stadium. And this has obviously been something that they've been trying to do for my whole lifetime. And I'm wondering, what's your, just as an Oakland A's fan, an Oakland resident, an Oakland native, what is your perception of their efforts? And I know this is kind of a broad question. What is your perception of their efforts of trying to build a new stadium through the years and through the presidents and owners?
And thanks for putting in the perspective of those different identities, because I'm both in a lifelong huge A's fan and also born and raised and rooted multi-generation in Oakland. And so those are different lenses to look at this through. So, you know, most broadly and generally, I think the A's have been incompetent in their pursuit of a new stadium. And while fully recognizing that it is well nigh impossible to get anything built in California, in the Bay Area specifically, and especially a sports stadium. Although we've seen some successes in, you know, San Francisco and Santa Clara recently. You know, there's been different owners and different efforts. You know, we had, you know, Finley, who was pretty, you know, had sold him to oil man Marvin Davis, and they're moving to Denver. I can still picture that Tribune headline in my mind. Through Schott and Hoffman, who could have had, the A's could have, you know, very likely could have had a downtown stadium on the site of the uptown apartment buildings. You know, Robert Bob basically ended up laying his career on the line to make that happen. And, you know, Schottenhoffman didn't show up to the pivotal meeting at which they were going to have an opportunity to, you know, weigh in and be presented with that plan. Because, you know, I think they wanted to move to Santa Clara. Now, Schott was from Santa Clara. He wanted to move to Santa Clara at that point. And then we had just a number of not Oakland locations that the team was trying to pursue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they lost a lot of valuable time towards getting something done in Oakland by continuing to look out of town. You know, probably most famously San Jose, which was barred, and you know, we know about Fremont and kind of the 2 weeks that Wolf spent talking about with the Coliseum North or East or whatever. You wanted to use some eminent domain, something that was never going to work. But probably what I would think was most harmful is the inability to invest into on-field talent, onto the payroll. Because, you know, the A's went from a point when they drew, you know, $2.9 million, I think it was 90 in the wake of the World Series, to now they're consistently drawing just over a million. And I think, and this is not something I know, but I've seen some of the marketing studies from some of the earlier attempts to move the team or build other stadiums that show, and I think we can see, that the Giants have made tremendous inroads into Contra Costa County. Now, they won some World Series, and, you know, nothing succeeds like success, right? But I contend that, you know, I think Dave Calvo famously said the other day, the team has spent $230 million in the Howard Terminal development process for the last 4 years. Okay, show me the receipts, baby. That's awfully difficult to perceive, to think that's credible. But, you know, if he says it, I'll take him on his face for it. And then I go, well, why didn't you re-sign Marcus Semien?
Sure.
Why didn't you re-sign some players? Because we've seen, and then we saw this in Seattle probably most vividly, a team goes to the World Series and they get a stadium built. There's nothing to build, you know, popular support for your team and your stadium than a big, deep playoff run. Now, we've seen the mania that the war pursued when the Warriors, you know, won some stuff. Just, you know, car flags, people going crazy. The unifying ability of a championship-level sports team to bring together a community, not only just behind the team, just behind its community, that pride and that Oakland name on the chest, there's nothing else that's like that. And so, you know, I criticize the A's for not being able to invest $230 million spent on the stadium, some of that money in on-field talent to get them where a better position to be able to have popular support behind the stadium.
Yeah. So you're saying sort of a chicken and egg situation. They want to sort of artificially say we're rooted in Oakland and we care about Oakland and we want you guys to have your successful team and your successful stadium, but they're not really showing the right investments to get the support from Oakland natives and people that are affected by any possible stadium being built. They're not really willing to give them the success that they probably could invest in.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, you're always going to have your hardcore fans, you know, the right field bleach folks. And, you know, I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. And so we're going to always root for the A's. But, you know, then as a resident, I have to, you know, think about what would this mean? You know, what would the current deal on the table mean for the city and any of the other, you know, previous deals? And so, what you do when you get a championship level team is you get people who are, you know, kind of the people who show up, you know, the A's will sell out, you know, playoff games. You get right to the end, everybody will show up.
Oh,
nobody shows up during the season because everybody likes a winner.
Yeah, and so everyone wants to see success. They don't want to see the process.
Yeah. So you get those people. And then you kind of get the people who couldn't tell you anything, couldn't name a player. If you go to World Series, you go deep in the playoffs, everybody's a fan. And then you just kind of it becomes much more difficult, I think, for, you know, others who may be opposed to get as much support. And but you know, if you continually, and one of the criticisms you hear from people who aren't involved is, oh, the A's are cheap anyway. You know, why should we, you know, invest in a stadium for them? But you know, there's another aspect to marshaling public opinion, and that is actually going out at a grass around the stadium specifically, and that's actually going out and marshaling public opinion. And so, you know, the stadium opponents have hired an excellent San Francisco-based PR firm to craft PR messages against the stadium. And they have, I've seen them at my local neighborhood community meetings that have just community meetings, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a strand and a strategy and a plan, and, you know, they're paying, they've hired, you know, some community organizer, and, you know, they've got PR team, and then they've got rooted in community spokespeople armed with talking points from the PR firm. And they go around to community meetings and political clubs and one by one and slow by slow and roll out their presentation.
Yeah.
And the A's don't. And so, you know, I question at some level just really their how badly do they really want to build this Howard terminal? You know, because if you don't do that kind of grassroots opinion making, and while you watch your opponents do that, how committed are you to the process?
Yeah.
And so, you know, just as a person who just observes that, it's just confounding to me.
That's interesting, because I think that a lot of people want to point the finger at John Fisher, and something that I just noticed in my reporting, just from you know, what I've been able to gather, is that he's not been present at even the city council meetings. I'm wondering if maybe some of the issue is that, and something that I understand about how to get things done, which is a need to have everyone on the same page. And everyone means, you know, the team, the community, the city officials. And that seems to be lacking, or the main thing that is lacking about why this doesn't seem like a cohesive effort, is there's no cohesion that maybe the Giants had for building their ballpark, and that the Warriors had for building the arena in San Francisco. And those are a little bit different just in terms of circumstance, but there was cohesion at least between city officials and the team.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you got it's completely different eras, different cities, you know, different budgets. You know, the A's are now trying to build a massive real estate development. And, you know, for the record, the stadium is a $1 billion piece of what they say is a $12 billion, you know, total project in the midst of a crisis of homelessness, gentrification, and displacement.
Yeah.
You know, San Francisco, those things had already happened, and they were putting the stadiums, you know, down in areas that weren't part of historically Black neighborhoods. That were more removed maybe from residential areas. Although, you know, Howard Terminal is adjacent to Jacqueline and Square Waterfront, and there's already plenty of fancy luxury developments over there. You know, it's probably seven blocks removed from 7th Street in West Oakland, which, you know, maybe a residential border. But, then, you know, they're kind of different. And if you look at the Warriors, and so Joe Lacob is a very charismatic entrepreneurial owner, you know, did a lot. He built, you know, building businesses. You know, the Giants were a bit different. I think Larry Bear, you know, equivalent to Dave Cavill, led that charge.
Yep.
Don't know that. Well, I take that back. Maybe McGowan was pretty dang visible, I think, in the Giants push. And, you know, Fisher isn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of get it. You know, if you talk to people around the A's, you know, he's a different kind of guy. You know, these other, you know, Lacob certainly loves the limelight, right?
Sure.
He wants to be seen. He wants
the credit.
He wants the credit. He wants the visibility. He wants the fame. He wants that ego thing. You know, he wants to be out in front. He wants to be seen. Fisher apparently is not that dude. You know, he wants to stay in the shadows and, you know, stay in the back. You know, I've heard some folks around the A's go, yeah, you don't want him out front. You know, he's not particularly, you know, charismatic or ingratiating or warm. Mm-hmm. I've heard some other people who, you know, interacted with him say he's fine. You know, he's a nice guy. But for whatever reason, okay, the dude's the owner. He can opt out and choose to hire people to do this work. Yeah. It's how things work. You know, the owners hire people to do their jobs and do the work. So that's completely his option. But I would say two things. You do that at your own risk. You know, because I think me and a lot of other people like me want to see the leader come before us and commit. You know, and say, it's his money. He's the decision maker. We want to see that guy out here pitching this thing, you know, and telling us how important it is to him and, you know, why he should be done. It's one thing to work through, you know, your agent. And I'm not knocking Dave Cavill. We got a stadium built in San Jose.
Sure.
But sometimes when things are as complicated, as fractured, and as politicized as it is here now, you can either choose to do it the way you want to, or you can choose to do it the way that's going to work. And so, you know, maybe if you really want to see this happen, you got to choose to do what's going to work. But on the other hand, maybe he's just not that guy that has the ability and the skills to get in front of people to be persuasive and to make it work. And I'll add this kind of one other thing and kind of one other comparison I'll make between him and a guy called Lakeham and a guy like Lakeham. So I remember, you know, just reading articles, because I read like everything I get my hands on around all these topics. It talked about how just really successful Fisher was managing his family's investment portfolio. You know, his dad was an entrepreneur, built a business in the Gap. And Fisher is not an entrepreneur, but he's an extremely skilled investor in, you know, allocating capital to investments. And he's done really, really great at doing that. Well, sure. But, you know, being an investor is different than being a builder.
Yeah.
Different than being a, you know, developer or being an entrepreneur. And so those are different skill sets. And maybe those different types of personalities are what's needed. So maybe what this project needs at its head is a developer, a builder, an entrepreneur, and, you know, not an investor, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's kind of my take on it.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like Fisher is interested in investing in this part of Oakland, because if you look at it from an outsider's point of view and maybe an insider's point of view, it's basically ripe for development. It's right near San Francisco. It's near Silicon Valley. It's in the heart of the Bay Area, and it's the only area that's been untouched. And I imagine that a lot of investors and developers are drooling over that real estate because it's something that could just explode over time. And maybe he's seeing this as an opportunity.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, you know, baseball stadiums, baseball teams these days are, you know, sort of looks like they operate the teams as, you know, ancillary to real estate development. And we see that in new developments across all sports, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, Inglewood is, you know, the Clippers are moving to Inglewood back by the Forum and putting up an arena with a bunch of ancillary development. You see that in, you know, Atlanta built their suburban stadium with the baked in faux urban environment, right? Yeah. So this is what it is. And so I would say, though, that, you know, there's a reason Howard Terminal is a particularly expensive place to develop. But if you, when, you know, people talk about, oh, Howard Terminal is going to, you know, change, gentrify that area or change the character of, go look at the projects that are already entitled along that area. There are dozens of buildings that are going to get built, whether Howard Terminal gets built or not. And so this is not the first or the only large development that's going down in that area. Now,
it's the
development that's probably furthest removed from West Oakland because it's on the waterfront, you know, and it's Jack London. I read that Jack London Square would extend its official designation to include Howard Terminal, and it would be part of Jack London Square, you know, Brooklyn Basin development, you know, the famous Ninth to Oak site that was once pitched for the A's stadium is being developed down there along the waterfront too. And then there are a number of developments that are scheduled to be built along 7th Street, you know, the historic Harlem of the West heart of West Oakland that was destroyed in urban renewal efforts. And then, you know, there's this industrial area immediately outside the gates of Howard Terminal, which seems underutilized, that there's not a lot of those former industrial uses that employed a lot of people prior to deindustrialization, where there's just not a lot happening. So if you were to kind of look at that, there's a lot of land down in that area between 880 and the waterfront in that warehouse district that has already been converted into luxury developments. Look, heck, Steph Curry lived down there in one of those towers.
Did he?
Yeah. He lived in one of the condo, tall condo buildings on Broadway.
Hiding in Alamo.
Before they moved to Alamo. Before they had the first baby. Yeah. Wow. They lived there. And
it's a bachelor-ish pad. Or not really bachelor.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really have to worry about your kids, having space or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And so, it's an area that's somebody's going to develop it. They probably won't develop Howard Terminal because it's so expensive with all the other remediation efforts. And so there's a lot of other things that are going to be developed no matter what happens with Howard Terminal.
Something that I think is interesting about how this term sheet that the A's released is being covered is that I think that we've now seen about 500 different interpretations of what it means. What does privately financed mean? What does it mean to be have a project fund or something funded via the project? What the $855 million means? Who's paying for that? I was doing some research and I found the term sheet. I just want to clarify. I think that a lot of sports writers are way in over their heads when it comes to covering this. It's complicated, and I think that a lot of determinations have been made that are maybe not accurate, and I'm not in a position to decide what's right and wrong and who's being screwed or not screwed. But what I'm noticing is that there's just a lot of misinformation, and I was looking up the term sheet for Pac Bell Park before it was built, and I found a clause that's very similar to what's in the A's term sheet, which is, yes, this is going to be privately financed, but we need to create we're going to use the property tax increments to fund the infrastructure around the ballpark. And I was like, well, this seems like very similar. And why is it that the A's are getting killed over this concept and the Giants did not? They were praised for having it be 100% privately financed. What's your take on that dynamic and that clause in particular that maybe people might not understand?
Oh. That was funny. I was actually just looking up the Giants IFD, some things about that yesterday, because for exactly the same reason. So if Sacramento is using the same sort of structure for their soccer stadium, I'm no expert, and I think it's fairly common. I've done some bit of research like you have. And so if we, just back up a bit. So California used to have redevelopment agencies, sort of a similar structure. It uses what's called tax increment financing. Just a really brief overview of that. Just say you draw a boundary around a certain area in the tax, property tax revenue you collect today is 100. And so you set that as your base. Well, in the future, you build something that's worth 100. Now the property tax base is, you just say you collect now 200 in property taxes. That change from that 200 to 100, that 100 increment is the tax increment difference. And so that only exists because you built something there. And so that revenue, and they call this project generated revenues, is revenue that only exists if the development gets built. So why did the A's get killed for this and not like San Francisco or other places? Well, because this is much more controversial, right? And so I would say a couple of things. These crises of homelessness, displacement, and gentrification have made the stakes a lot higher. I would say the political environment is a lot more toxic. I would say the presence of the stadium opponents and their excellent PR firm have done a great job in misdirecting people and putting a spin on it to turn it into something that it's not. I think these terms are kind of opaque. You know, who project generator, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what that means. You know, infrastructure finance, nobody, people don't understand these things.
Sure.
And so it becomes really easy to mischaracterize them. And, you know, most people aren't going to spend, you know, a couple hours kind of reading the text of, you know, SB 293 and then kind of looking through term sheets. They'll just, you know, look on Twitter and let somebody else give them their opinion, or they'll read some editorial and just pick up somebody else's opinion as their own. And, you know, people are busy. And so I get that. I just would hope that that's where the facts would come forward and people could decide on the facts rather than let somebody else tell them what to think.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would say. And so, and then also, you know, we're also doing this in the wake of, you know, the city, you know, I'm a taxpayer in the city of Oakland, and the city and county taxpayers are still paying off the bonds for Mount Davis.
Yeah.
And IFD is not that kind of financing structure.
Sure.
You know, we had a fight with the Warriors for them to pay off their lease money, to mm-hmm. pay off the bonds, to renovate that. And then the Raiders are left. So you got all this trauma and
yeah.
I'll, you know, kind of exactly. using that word in a light sense, because, you know, it's some serious stuff around these things. And people are very sensitive to not getting burned. You know, we've been
yeah.
burned by sports teams before. You know, this is complicated. And, you know, the A's have not done the work to explain it to people. And so their opponents have spent the last 2 years kind of seeding the ground for people to be against it. And the A's haven't. And that's they own that.
Right. Do you think that – I mean, I was going to bring up the Raiders situation, because that's obviously a huge – very public instance in which Oakland was burned by a promise of we're going to regenerate the funds and through the bonds for the PSLs or whatever it was. Do you think that that's the main concern with Oakland City Council? I mean, like, my issue with Oakland City Council is that they haven't been entirely transparent about what their issue is with the development. And I'm not saying that, like, there shouldn't be any issue, but I would like to know what their concerns are. Do you think that that's the fear of being burned again, and also the fear of, you know, making sure that Oakland natives aren't displaced? Is that their concern?
I think so. I think those should be their concerns.
Yeah.
You know, this is it's not the responsibility of the city council, or the residents to come up with a plan for the A's. This is the A's responsibility. You know, look, the Raiders, I'm going to really have a Raiders season ticket holder, lifelong Raider. I just like that. A's, Raiders, and Warriors. Grew up going to all these things. Now, Nevada offered $750 million free to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Buy? I'd leave, you know. I'm not an advocate for building or for offering that kind of money to any sports team.
Yeah.
Certainly not the Raiders. And so, you know, if you're – I get it. You know, if somebody offers me $750 million to move somewhere, I'm gone too, right? As much as I love the town. You know, I might move back, but I'm going to go get the money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's hard for me. I feel betrayed. I was heartbroken. You know, all the emotions of being a lifelong, you know, Oakland Raider fan and sticking with them even when they moved to LA and back. But, if, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, financially, I get it. You know, these are businesses. There's no different a business than SSA terminal over at the port. You know,
yeah.
It's a business. It exists to make money.
Yeah.
Rooted in Oakland is a marketing slogan. And so I don't, why would you think anything else? I mean,
yeah.
I have no, when I go to Safeway, I don't think they're there because you're trying to do something good for me. You're there to make money.
Yeah.
And it's like any other business in the world. So I think to have any other kind of expectation is false. I mean, you just don't, it's not a nonprofit. It's not a charity here to exist for the goodness of the people of Oakland. Although, you know, if you think about, you know, the history, the proud and deep sports history, particularly in West Oakland, especially with black ball players, you know, Frank Robinson, you know, the first black manager, the only guy to be MVP in both leagues, you know, Kurt Flood, Veda Pinson. I mean, these are groundbreaking black baseball players, and they grew up and played here in West Oakland, and, you know,
yeah.
Joe Morgan and Ricky, just all these dudes,
mm-hmm.
Stu, You know, we have such a proud and deep legacy and history of Black baseball in Oakland, including a couple of Black Negro League teams and even Black teams that predated the Negro Leagues here in Oakland, that this is an important legacy that I, as in my life as somebody who's rooted in this community and is trying to preserve these stories, I think is important and is an important connection. You know, me as a youth, you know, I spent a lot of time out at the Oakland Coliseum going to games, and, you know, maybe I could have been doing something else. Who knows? You know, I was never going to be, I was not in trouble as a kid, but just the amenities, you know, to this community. And so I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, we used to have rolling rinks and bowling alleys and, you know, this and that. And now we don't have that anymore. Well, you know, one day will we also say, you know, we used to have sports teams to go to, and now we will rue the day when we don't have that because we made a permanent decision around a temporary set of circumstances. So, but then it's all got to be balanced. I'm someone who takes great pride when I see that, you know, that name Oakland on the chest of all those players. You know, I was one of those people who's always furious that Golden State never changed their name to Oakland and then did it when they went to San Francisco. Yeah,
that was so obtuse.
It's just gross. I'm like, now you're trying to pimp the name Oakland and get my money so you can pay off the lease that you owe us. No, go away.
No, terrible.
So, somebody who grew up here in the shadow of the great city across the bay, you know, we were always underdog. You know, we're underfunded and the underdog and rough and tumble, and took a lot of pride in that image of these underdog teams that overachieved and overcame and wore that name open across their chest. And at one time, people had a lot of pride in that. Well, you know, there's a lot more. There's been a lot of, you know, people dislocated. I think there's a lot more people here who didn't grow up here, who just don't have that bond with the teams and grew up with that, and just don't recognize what a great part of town culture, you know, the A's are and our sports teams are. And they just don't have that connection to it. You know, but also sports has changed. You know, sports used to be a very democratic space when anybody could go and pretty much afford almost any seat. Now you go to sports arenas and it's class segregated. You know, you cannot get nowhere near where the ultra rich people sit. Yeah. You know, just the kind of level of amenities are different. So, you know, sports has changed, but still, if you've ever been in a parade, the way that unites people is amazing. You know, Black, white, Puerto Rican, everybody's just jamming out there, right? So that's really fun. But, you know, and you got to remember in the context of that, it's still a business. It still has great impact on fiscal revenues. I kind of forgot where your question was and I started rambling.
No, it's all answers to the question. That sort of leads me to my question, which is, as a both Oakland resident native and A's fan, do you want this Howard Terminal project to come to fruition? Would you be happy about that, or does it make you wary?
All of the above. It depends. Mm-hmm. I want the A's to stay in town.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball says they're not building at the Coliseum. If you look around the league, I see, because they say it's not part of their vision of what they want for baseball. Well, three members of the city council wrote a letter that says, explain to us why you can't build a Coliseum. And it's like, well, it's not our vision. You know, what are you going to say? It's not our vision. It's different than, you know, quantifying or math. It's just not the vision. And so, you know, I think Major League Baseball is trying to see stadiums or teams located in areas that are going to have this great potential for ancillary development. It's funny, I was talking to somebody about this last night, and we were bemoaning the fact that the area around the Coliseum is not developing, is actually regressing. You know, the Walmart closed, the Denny's closed, and the Hofbräu closed. And, you know, there's an office park right across the freeway that's pretty much vacant, and there just doesn't seem to be private desire to locate there either commercially or retail. And so, you know, it seems to me, and there's also an offer from Ray Bobbitt black developer and some other black developers to acquire Palestinian property. And so for me, you know, in my greatest dreams, you know, we see Ray Bobbitt and his group acquire Coliseum property, redevelop that, we get a CUNY benefits agreement for East Oakland, we figure out how to get the A's over here at Howard Terminal, we get a big community development agreement for that, we get some benefits for West Oakland, and we see a win-win in both of these communities. But, you know, it has to make sense, you know, financially. Yeah. So you'd ask me, you know, council. So the council, you know, the council, nothing, they just dropped. So I guess I heard that the A's had sent the term sheet to the council in January. And then in order to pressure them, you know, he went public and then got Major League Baseball to use their promise to threaten to move to try and increase pressure to push something forward. But, you know, the council's got to take its time and do its job and have, you know, it's been a pandemic and we're going through the budget. They've got to take their time to do this right and analyze it. So
yeah,
I don't knock them for not turning on a dime and reacting to the A's. You know, I think the A's had a responsibility to not only come to, you know, they would have a better chance of making this work, not only to bring in the city, or bring in the county and the state financially as well. And if we look at other stadium projects and other locales in other states, you know, we've seen participation by counties and from states. And so with the amount of infrastructure, the investment that's needed, I think the A's would have been wise to also approach county and state, because if they believe, you know, the A's will say, you know, job development, and ultimately this comes back in terms of property tax revenue, business tax revenue, sales tax, you know, all these generators for government. That they should seek to get buy-in at all those levels of government for investment and not only for legislation, which is what they've done. But I think we also have to consider the fact that the port is a separate entity from the city council. And where does the expertise lie around evaluating? And this is really, you know, one of the cruxes of it. You know, the ILWU 10, you know, a famous predominantly black union that has deep roots in this community and is legendary for their fight for, you know, civil and human rights, not only for, you know, black folks here in Oakland and America, but in South Africa as well, is opposed to this project. And, you know, I get it. You know, if you come and say you want to, if I've got, you know, if you come and tell me you're going to build something, this giant thing next door to my house, I'm going to go, no, I don't want it there either. Right. That's going to be my initial reaction.
Right.
And so you just, you know, they got a self-interest. And then, you know, the global maritime oligarchs, you know, they don't want to have their $1 billion business interests, you know, interrupted. So it's funny that people love to talk, oh, John Fisher is a billionaire. Well, guess what? SSA Marine Terminal, they're billionaires too.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they're huge investment in them by Blackstone, which a lot of people in Oakland hate because they own so much residential real estate property and people criticize them for driving up rents and driving gentrification. Nobody talks about that, right? Because they're trying to persuade people to a point of view instead of just kind of laying out kind of everything that there is behind the scene, you know. You know, Schnitzer Steel is an important part of the anti-stadium forces. And they just got fined $4 million for poisoning babies in West Oakland for, you know, seeing that's inflammatory because I'm just in my own point of view, for toxic emissions, you know, in West Oakland, and then said, yeah, we still don't think that it's toxic. And so you got to, you know, everybody has an agenda to hear. And so The port's created, I think for me, the port has staff and they've got a commission who is chartered and governed and tasked with deciding the future of the port. And before they, and I don't know if you remember this, before they signed this Howard Terminal agreement, there was a big controversy about whether Howard Terminal would be needed for marine use. And so the port went and refreshed their strategic plan and they specifically tasked the staff to determine whether Howard Terminal had a future, you know, container shipping use and to do some analysis. And they came out with a strategic plan. They looked at that question and they said, well, it's for the best future of the port. We want to take this this tower terminal out of marine use and put into another use, because the port also owns Jackson Square and, you know, has taken that money, invested into a bunch of retail and commercial buildings that don't have tenants. And for to terminal stadium were there and all this other stuff, you get a bunch more people coming down there, and it would support, would get more revenues that way.
Yeah. So they're supportive of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, to be clear, the port is their prime. I think their prime, and they also run the airport, but I think their primary revenue generator is the shipping operations. And so if we say that the port is, you know, the port generates a tremendous number of jobs and economic activity throughout the region. And so if they're being competent enough to develop that business, I kind of think they're the experts in determining where the future of Howard Terminal is going to lie. But then there's another body, the Bay Conservation and Development Commission, which is tasked for doing this marine designation through all the ports in all of the bay, will ultimately will have to decide to remove the marine designation use from Howard Terminal. And they had a subcommittee meeting over the summer where they began to look at that question. And so, and then they're like independent of the port and independent of city, and it, you know, and they're really an independent body with a staff and a board that is really tasked with looking at the future demand for shipping, not only in Oakland, throughout the bay. And they've got a 2050 shipping volume forecast. So there's all this data that's out there that's around this that is not in the city council's hands, because, you know, they've got, they certainly have to weigh in on this, because it's, you know, I think from the land use perspectives and traffic impacts, and they've got to certify the EIR. But I would say they're probably not experts in maritime matters, you know, just not. There's, you know, city staff just are, that's just not what they do. And so I think, you know, I would like to see the experts in port use and maritime have the ability to weigh in and to follow their expertise, rather than just be decided by whoever yells the loudest.
Yeah, because that's what it seems like. It just seems like instead of forming a coalition or a united force to get things done and, you know, compromise, it's just everything sort of being yelled and bulldozed through to sort of avoid any conflict. Not conflict, that's the right word, but not the right word, but to go around certain people and certain groups that might have something to say about why something shouldn't happen, why this shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I think everybody's concerns need to be addressed. You know, the people at the folks, the port, the, you know, the maritime industry has legitimate concerns that need to be addressed. Now, I'm not qualified as a, you know, to weigh in on them, but there are bodies who are, you know. I can read the Port Strategic Plan, I can read the BCDC's 2050 shipping survey and kind of look at that stuff and, you know, be informed about some facts, but I don't know what's not in there. And so I think you really, you know, I would defer to the people whose jobs it is to do that, to determine about whether a Howard Terminal Ballpark Village is a compatible use. What I am interested in, and particularly sitting on the Community Benefits Agreement Steering Committee, is on the community benefits piece. And so we're going to meet. Our next meeting is a week from today, and we're going to get a presentation and hear about both our final term sheet, as well as about parts 9 and 13 of the term sheet, which talk about the CBA in these two districts. Now, here's what I think. This current term sheet's a non-starter.
The current, the ones that the A's proposed.
Now, what they have on the table right now is a non-starter.
Why is that?
Will not support that for two reasons. The A's have not committed to putting a single penny out of their pocket into the community benefits agreement.
Mm-hmm.
None. You know, the Clippers did $100 million on a $1.4 billion development. Brooklyn Basin, you know, that's sports, and so that's probably the most relevant benchmark because it's a sports stadium. Mm-hmm. Even if you just go down the waterfront to Brooklyn Basin, that developer had to put some money out of his pocket to a community benefits agreement that I think consisted of, you know, building X number of affordable housing units and then, you know, parks and public space and all that other kind of stuff. Well, the A's have not committed to putting a penny out of their pocket. So if you're not going to put a penny out of your pocket, then just go away. I can't, yeah. It's just disrespectful to the notion of community benefits, because let's be clear, they're not building, investing $12 billion out of the goodness of their hearts. Investing $12 billion, they think they're going to make a pretty penny, massive profits. And so if you're going to invest massive profits and cause negative impacts to, to multiple communities, West Oakland and Chinatown, Old Oakland and Jack London Square are the four impacted communities that are parties sitting at this community benefits agreement table. And two of them, West Oakland and Chinatown, are historically marginalized communities, that there must be mitigation for those impacts. And it can't just come from the so-called project generated revenues. It would be unfair to the community. It would be unfair to other developers who have reached in their pockets for community benefits to do that. And then the process by which this was delivered is disrespectful of the CBA process that was set up and that so many people have devoted so much time to over the last couple of years. And so I think the way this was delivered is a flub. Mm-hmm. And I think its content was a flub, not only for the fact that there's no, A's, no Fisher investment out of his pocket toward community benefits, but I also have deep questions and concerns about one of the two infrastructure districts. And so they've got two infrastructure districts, Howard Terminal District and a Jacqueline Square District. Mm-hmm. Well, the Howard Terminal District, clearly that would be something that the A's developed. Any property tax, business tax, sales tax, any hotel, any taxes that come out of that, any activity generated out of that would clearly be due to this A's project. And so I'd say, okay, that's fair. And if you look at what they've got from the Howard Terminal Infrastructure Financing District, project generated revenues are estimated at $860 million. That's $860 million of project generated revenues, let's just call that incremental property taxes, that would not otherwise come into the county and the school district and the city and whatever other districts that pay those taxes. So that's really, I should think they should get credit for that. And they're proposing to use $495 million of that for on-site infrastructure. And then somehow they looked in their magic crystal ball and decided that $365 million are city and community benefits. And so, $170 million of that community benefits. How did they come up? How did they decide city community would be 170 out of the remaining 365? And then another 195 for the general fund. And so really we're getting $365 million that would not otherwise be generated. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I'll go for that. I'd support that. I'd question the numbers. And so I've asked to see the math behind this $860 million.
Yeah, seems arbitrary.
Yeah, but it does. But there's you can calculate it. And so, you estimate the future 45 years of property taxes, then you present value that. And then you've got to put some cushion in there for risk, and then you can let those bonds and sell those bonds. And I think that's what they've done. I think they say that they can sell $860 million of bonds that are guaranteed only by the revenues from this district. And what's different from when you hear people say taxpayer financing, usually that means something like what we did for the Raiders, where we floated a general obligation bond. My understanding is this, and I read this in the SB 293 legislation, is that the district itself is on the hook for this bond. So there's no exposure to the city's general fund. Now, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an expert in this. I just read it. And so there may be a way for the city to only be on the hook, but based on what I read, not. Right. And so I'd be interested to hear from somebody if that's not correct. From what I understand, the city's general fund has no exposure. The one that I question, now they drew this gigantic, Jack London Square, infrastructure district that spans from, from Oak Street to like 8th Street. Yeah, it's huge. And I don't think the A's are building anything in that. Now, I've heard that Fisher has acquired a bunch of properties, in that area, but it's just rumor. I haven't Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen anything official, but I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. But what I do know is there are quite a number of developments that are already entitled and are supposed to be built in this district. And so we're going to see incremental tax financing in that district, whether Howard Terminal is built or not. And so and now it becomes a couple of questions. These districts have to be approved by the landowners in the districts. And, you know, so if the A's are the landowner, Howard Terminal, they're going to approve it.
Right.
But what about all these other landowners in this gigantic Jackson Square district? What guarantee does anybody have that it's going to get approved?
Hmm.
Have the A's polled these people? I don't know. Maybe they have. Maybe they polled enough property owners to know that it's going to pass. Maybe they have it. And then if it doesn't, then what? Then how do you come out with this other $1 billion that they say would come from this? It's $1.4 billion. Where does that come from if this doesn't get approved? I don't know. And so this is my risk to that. So it's not then fair to say that these are project generated revenues, because some of those revenues are going to happen anyway. Now, I would say that if the project's built, it's going to accelerate growth in there. You'd see more interest in it being developed. You'd see more sales tax revenue from the leasing. Yeah. So some part of it, I would say, would be due to the A's, but I would say most of it's not. Hmm. And so some other developers are proposing a district to be able to build affordable housing for their districts. Why didn't they get some of this? And so I'm skeptical of that. And I'm skeptical of this $860 million and this $1.4 billion. So I think that's dependent upon this $12 billion ultimate build out. And there's no guarantee that the $12 billion investment is ever going to happen. Thus, there's no guarantee that this $860 million, $1.4 billion is going to happen, and neither will the community benefits or the revenues to the city, but nor the infrastructure investment. Now, as a West Oakland resident, West Oakland's been, everybody knows historically, redlined, disinvested, and misinvested.
Yeah.
I want to see investment.
Yeah.
I want to see, I want to see sidewalks. I want to see railroad tracks taken out of the middle of the streets. I want to see potholes get paved. I want to see transportation improvements. I want to see environmental remediation down at Howard Terminal. I want to see the toxics taken out. I want to see the sea level rise protected against. And so I think it's entirely appropriate for the city to invest property tax revenues in developing the city.
Yeah,
it is what we start out asking about the Giants,
right.
And Sacramento and so many other places in the state that invest in infrastructure. Hell, the city has always invested in infrastructure. It's what they do.
Right.
They pave roads. Yeah, it's rocket. They pave roads, but they pave them not so well.
Right.
And so if you got an opportunity to get more money to do this stuff, I think that's good. But it also has, and I also, here's my favorite thing about this infrastructure financing district idea.
Mm-hmm.
It is a way to designate money up front for public works, community-based projects. And so, mm-hmm. If we recognize that West Oakland is historically redlined, disinvested, and there's a transfer of wealth from our tax revenue into other communities, into other areas, it is now time to reverse that and to mitigate that. And one of the ways to be able to do that is to use an infrastructure financing district and say, we're going to send all this money to the county. We're then send back, a portion to the city. And I've heard that's between 25% and 30%. Let's take some of this money right now and designate for affordable housing, for libraries, for parks, for amenities for this community that has been historically underdeveloped.
Yes.
We've got less tree canopy in West Oakland than in other parts of Oakland because the city didn't invest in that. Let's fix that. Mm-hmm. And let's fix that by using something like an infrastructure financing district. So I'm pleased that the A's brought this to the table,
right.
But I would love to, for us to be able to think about this separate from the A's.
Right.
What if we use this district and we didn't pour all, let's just forget about the A's. Let's put in this Jack London infrastructure district and designate it for purposes to mitigate the historic differences in racial inequities that are documented in the city's racial equity survey, which is the basis for the community benefits agreement steering committee that I sit on. You know, we started with these racial differences and said, we're going to design and come up with community benefit recommendations to address some of these historical inequities. And so that's another reason why this whole AIDS thing is such a betrayal, because now we went spent all these time going through this process, and instead of engaging with us around, you know, continuing to work out this process that we're so close to the end on, it threw this thing out in the air and didn't talk to us directly. It's really a slap in the face to a certain extent. Yeah.
It's basically they came up with a sheet and said, here's where we think the fund should go. And it's a lot of money. And it's not only not collaborative, but it's a little bit unclear. They're saying, we're going to send it to a general fund, and we're going to send this, we're allocating this amount here and there. And from Oakland's side and from groups like yours who are looking at it, it's like, where was our input on this?
Yeah, so you can look at this a couple of ways. The districts, they have no ability to dictate where the money's going to go. Now, if they reach in their pocket, they can sign an agreement, and it's what it is. You know, the districts by law are set up that they have to decide how this money from these districts gets spent. Now, if there's an agreement, then we can say that we're going to have this agreement with the A's. But this is not something that's under their control. And so they're putting together a term sheet that wasn't negotiated out to the end with the other parties.
Right.
And so now they want to negotiate in public, and, you know, they've gotten the city council to agree to a vote. But, you know, I've had some thoughts about this from the beginning.
Yeah.
One of my thoughts from the beginning is this was all a huge fake, because they just wanted to spend enough money to prove to Major League Baseball that they tried and opened so they can move. And when I look at the way, it's just, we're gonna look at a couple of things. The failure to engage a PR firm on the ground to get public support behind this proposal, behind this idea for a couple of years, the lack, the way it was delivered, because this is kind of delivered in a way guaranteed to piss people off. And then the lack of collaboration around the terms itself. I go, are you really trying to get this done? Or are you just trying to hurry up and get to a no vote so you can leave? Right. And so that's probably my most cynical side. You know, the other side goes, okay, if I don't believe they've spent $230 million on pre-development, on this process, they've certainly spent tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, they've funded the city staff that are involved, that reviewed the EIR, that are engaging in the CBA process. They've you know, hired a whole real estate development arm. They've, you know, Bjork Engels, the architect, just they've spent tens of millions of dollars on this thing. Clearly, do you really spend that much? It's just an elaborate fake.
Right.
I don't know. You know,
this much time and especially given the market, like if you think about the upside of having something like that in Oakland, in the Bay Area, you would think, especially because John Fisher is based there, you would think that maybe he has a vested interest in staying and investing there.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if we go back to saying, you know, this dude's a very savvy, successful investor. I think ultimately this project, if you're going to invest $12 billion, you're going to make billions of dollars. And so I think there's a bargain here. I do, but I don't know what it is, but I think there's enough opportunity for enough people to win that there can be a deal struck. Everybody can't get everything that they want.
You know? It's a negotiation.
Everybody's going to have to concede something, but I would, you know, put out this challenge. I would say, here's a great opportunity for the next mayor of Oakland to distinguish themselves and to be able to come forward and broker a deal here. Right. Mm-hmm. So who's that going to be? Are you going to be, you know, can you run from, you know, do you want to run with having lost all the teams? Cause you know, maybe Schaff is termed out. We're going to get a new mayor. It would seem to me that's somebody who could figure out how to bring all the stakeholders together and get enough benefits for all the parties, the port, the city, the residents, the team, satisfy the BCDC and the Department of Toxic Control and the State Lands Commission, you know, the county and state, all these stakeholders, and craft a deal, that's the kind of person I probably would, you know, be interested in supporting for mayor, because this is complicated. The politics are toxic.
Yeah.
It is super convoluted. I think that there is, you know, the possibility of something there, because at the end of the day, if we can get people from Walnut Creek and Livermore and San Francisco and San Jose to come down to Waterfront Oakland and spend their money, then we're better for it. You know,
yeah.
We're better for it than if they're playing in Vegas or Portland or somewhere else. And, you know, for me, West Oakland's in my heart. And I am most concerned about benefits for this community. And that's what I want to see come out of this thing.
Well, that's a good way to end it. But I wanted to ask just one final question. Do you think that the A's are willing to negotiate so that everyone feels like they're benefiting from this?
Are they willing to get, they have, well, they either,
have to.
Yeah, they have to be, they have to be, yeah. willing, they have to be willing to negotiate on this. And so I'm going to say, yeah, because I still believe that this project is possible. Look, something like this, you know, has to capture the imagination, right?
Yep.
So we have to think about the possibility of this and finding where the good is. I mean, these jobs that are at the Coliseum, I think there's four unions out there. These are low skilled, union jobs. And so there's used to be people who cobble together living, A's, Raiders, Warriors, A's, Raiders, Giants, Warriors. Who am I leaving out? They're just teams. And so Niners are down there. So the people I knew that, I'd see the workers. I'd see like the ushers, inspection people at all the facilities. And so, you know, I think it's the same union. They work, even if it's not, I see them in these places. So as these teams leave, we're losing those low-skilled jobs, and you know, those are overwhelmingly Black and brown faces. Now they're not the job. They're not the, you know, 1600 or 1700 longshoreman jobs at the port, which makes six figures. Those are not those jobs, right? These are completely different things. And so, I think we need both of these jobs in the community. And I think if we get development at the port, there's opportunity for much more business activity. There's opportunity for, you know, small entrepreneurs, food or services, contracting, you know, these kinds of things. And so I just think that there's opportunity there, but it has to benefit the city. And so at the end of the day, I would like to see a bargain that goes like this. If the city is willing to, if the city invests these large sums in infrastructure, in the investment side, then the city should see some profits out of this $12 billion investment. This becomes a public-private partnership, not only in the cost, but also in the profits. And to me, that feels like a win-win that everybody could win from and live with.
Well, let's hope we can get to that point. Thank you so much for taking all this time to share all your thoughts. And I feel like I've learned 100 million times more than what I knew about this whole situation, just from a city standpoint, from a resident standpoint, because I think that that's something that's been maybe glossed over a little bit. Like, what do the people really want? What do the people of Oakland, what would they like to see? They want to see the A's stay. They want to see the area improve economically. And so I think that that's an important perspective to take into consideration for this whole fiasco.
Yeah, it's been a fiasco so far. But at the end of the day, who's got the most wins in baseball?
Yeah, exactly.
Wave them high.
I know. It's just like, guys, please look at the team that you might lose. They're good again. I mean, you know, not might lose, but you know, it's at least
no might lose. Baseball might lose.
Sure, might lose. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least the team is fun to watch, not this.
There's
drama.
That.
Well, thank you, David, Dave, Bleacher Dave. I really appreciate all the time.
Yeah, you're welcome, Shannon. You appreciate your coverage and stay on this story. It's complicated and complex.
Yes.
Lay out the facts for folks.
Yes, it's very complicated. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Dave Peters for joining the show. You can follow my A's coverage all season long at the San Jose Mercury News and on Twitter at Shana Rubin. Till next time.